Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
You don't know what the hell you're doing!
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Happy Friday to you. We have basketball to talk about. Actual, real, live, fairly exciting and interesting NBA basketball that has returned. And thankfully, it has returned without the Bulls, so it's watchable. Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports, is going to join us at 9:40. He's in the bubble reporting on what's going on. He'll tell us how that felt last night. Then we'll turn our attention to the incipient NHL playoffs that start tomorrow for the Blackhawks. Kevin Weeks of NHL Network is going to join us at 10 to preview some of that. We got the Midday Midway at 10:40. We have Joe Sheehan of Sports Illustrated and Baseball America to reset some baseball for us at 11, and surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. That is the number at WSCR The Score. If you want to send an email, you send it to Bernstein at 670thescore.com. That's where you go to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You can send a text to the text zone, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You text the same number that you call, 312-644-6767. And when you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. You can follow along on Twitter, be part of the conversation there. That is at Bernstein670. My personal Twitter handle is at Dan_Bernstein. You have to download the radio.com app, too. That's a great way to stream The Score on your mobile device, and it gives you the rewind feature, and it gives you DVR-like controls, so you can listen to whatever you want on your own terms. Also, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. But now we have a new way that you can interact with this show and see the show. Hi, right through this camera. It's Twitch. So we're on Twitch now, live. You can have, there's a conversation that goes on concurrently with your viewership. It is twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. I'll say that again for you so you can write it down, bookmark it, do whatever you have to do. twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Brian Gertsch directs that feed. Shane Reardon is filling in as our executive producer today. For Jay Zawoski, who has the day off, and Ray Diaz is the man on the board doing all the things that he does. A quick news item here before we get to what's happening and what was happening in the NBA. By the way, breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil is made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. The Brewers-Cardinals game has been postponed because of positive tests, plural, that were reported by the Cardinals. This is John Heyman, who is saying this, that has been that's a postponement, and we're starting to get some shaky ground, I think, for baseball right now. As we know that there's no way that they take that step to go to the 7-inning doubleheader idea that if they don't think something is afoot. Joel Sherman now is saying, you see the wildfire that COVID is here. The Cardinals have a positive from a test that was almost certainly taken in Minnesota. So the Cardinals were off yesterday, but the Twins played Cleveland. So what will this mean for their games? Baseball's got an issue here. And obviously we're going to keep you informed, keep you apprised of everything that is going on there as events warrant throughout the day, because baseball is on increasingly shaky ground. But basketball is not, because they have successfully bubbled themselves. And we saw everything that went into that whole production last night. It was so weird. It was really weird. It was, it looked at the same time normal and abnormal. And it's just a matter of how we sort of conditioned ourselves to watch it and how we wanted to feel while watching it. And the NBA is going to tweak it. They're going to try to, it's so much was on display last night. We can talk about everything that was. That was 2020. It was where we are. And it's not just this country. The NBA is an international game, and a very international game, and everybody is watching. You saw tweets coming from all over the world last night, but this is in large part a distillation of where we are, on a knee with a mask, and just understanding how far we've come. And really, if you were writing the script and you had Rudy Gobert, who was patient zero back in March that caused everything to be shut down with his positive test, if you had patient zero hitting the first basket of the game and then hitting the free throws to win the game for his team, people would be like, oh, come on, yeah, that's lame, it's corny, it's cheesy. But indeed, he was. And you know, I just want to share. I mean, I can tell you how I felt. You can tell me how you felt at 312-644-6767, because the virtual fans, I don't really think worked, because it didn't seem to be connected. There were images of people, but if those people aren't reacting to what's actually in the game, it makes it seem odd. And I thought that part was odd. I thought everything looked pretty good. I think they did a nice job with it. And it does appear, it certainly gave in general the image of a controlled environment. And a lot of thought that went into it. It's pretty much the opposite of baseball that appears to be kind of doing this on the fly. And we're going to get to some of what happened last night in Cincinnati a little bit later on in the show, the stuff that where Anthony Rizzo apparently, I'm told, was not just angry after the fact, that he was very unhappy in the moment and was talking to teammates about what can we do here to try to make sure we're not putting ourselves in danger, and how is baseball allowing this. It got fairly heated and fairly concerned, but the NBA has obviously tamped some of that stuff down. And there was a powerful statement that was made by the NBA, a produced and powerful statement. I think we should take some time to listen to this audio. It was a video that was played both before the Pelicans-Jazz game and the Lakers-Clippers games on TNT. This is from last night.
First and foremost, I'm a black man, 23 years old. I don't know all the answers, but I feel how everybody else is feeling.
Right now, I would say I feel disturbed.
A lot of times I feel angry.
What do we want?
It's something that we've been dealing with for a long time.
As a black man, I'm fed up, tired. I want change now.
If you're an African American and you can't even be safe in your own home, then where do you feel safe?
We need to change people's hearts. It's a mindset.
It goes beyond just what we see on camera. Enough is enough.
This means too much to all of us.
Man, this moment is big. It's a lot. To be in this situation today, the same situation we was in 5 years ago, same situation we was in 10 years ago, and so on and so forth, it's just an ongoing cycle.
We will not be silent.
It's taken a very long time to get this sort of momentum going, and it can't be lost.
There's so much to change. Discrimination, profiling, these things have to stop.
We will not let up.
I will never be silent or a distraction. We can still play basketball, but at the end of the day, social justice has to be had.
We will turn pain into progress.
We have to find a way to come together as a whole. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. We're all in this fight together.
The question is, how can I help? How can I step into this moment in time? Our country's not going to go back to normal. Like, there's going to be a new normal. And right now, we're needing to decide what that normal is going to be.
We want our lives to be valued as much as everybody else. You know, we don't think that we're better. We want to be seen as equals. And, you know, to this point, we haven't.
I don't care what happens as far as these games or life comes back to normal or whatnot. Things aren't going to change until we sort of make them change.
And we will
make change.
That video ran before each game last night in the bubble in Orlando. And new normal is absolutely right in a lot of ways. And to see the precautions that were taken, to see coaches masked the entire time, to see the referees, if you notice, they have a special bag around their whistle, so they don't have any spit that flies out of the whistle, so they can keep that cloud from occurring. I mean, they thought about pretty much absolutely everything. And seeing the players on the quote-unquote bench on their individual, safely, socially distant seats with their name on them and their water bottle with their name on them. But it was basketball, and it looked, it looked like NBA 2K because it just kind of looked video gamey. And I, wait, is that actually basketball? Is that? And yeah, it was. And we were tempted, we were tantalized by a little Zion Williamson here and a little Zion Williamson there, and watching his magical behind the back pass. They said it was going to be in short bursts, and his bursts are bursty, you know, for a guy. I don't know what his actual full-time playing body is going to look like, or he might just be a fluctuator. He might be one of these guys who just is, it's never quite going to be right, because his upper half looks great. The lower half looks a little bubbly in the bubble right now, but he's going to be a remarkably compelling athlete to watch. So if you look at the way things are setting up for this weekend, as of right now, and obviously the breaking news in baseball could change things because of the number of teams and the number of places who are going to have lagging indicator tests here. There are 66 games, NBA, MLB, and NHL, set for this weekend. 66. Not to mention the St. Jude Open that's going on right now with some big names atop the leaderboard. So for the moment, this is one of these things where, as we've learned over the past half a year pretty much, to enjoy things as we can, when we can. And this is one of those times, because we don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know how long any kind of normal as sports fans is going to remain, and how we're going to enjoy it, how we're going to describe it. I guess we can just kind of commit to doing it best we can. You heard the voice of LeBron James in that video as well, and he did what he does. He knew that Anthony Davis was going to be the guy that night, and he functioned as facilitator until he was needed to get a late basket, until he was needed to guard Paul George at the end. And after his team's first win of the restart, LeBron James was asked about this moment, about the statement that was made, and how he feels this connection with their movement, with their moment, and his ongoing relationship and connection and support of Colin Kaepernick.
I hope we made Cap proud. I hope we continue to make Cap proud, you know, every single day. I hope I make him proud on how I live my life, not only, you know, out on the basketball floor, but off the floor. You know, I've been one to always speak out about things that I feel like that's unjust or unjust. And I always, you know, if I'm educated on things, I always, you know, go about it that way. So, you know, Cap was someone who stood up when times wasn't comfortable, where people didn't understand, people refused to listen to what he was saying. If you go back and look at any of his post-game interviews when he was talking about why he was kneeling, it had absolutely nothing to do about the flag. It had absolutely nothing to do about the soldiers, that the men and women that keep us, keep our land free. He explained that, and the ears were closed. People never listened. They refused to listen. I did. And a lot of my people, you know, in the black community did listen. And we just thank him for sacrificing, you know, everything that he did to put us in a position today. Even, you know, years later, to be able to have that moment like we had tonight.
That is LeBron James putting words and actions to words, words to actions, everything coming together last night right in front of us in a very surreal scene. That's the only way to describe it. As we saw our lives in 2020, everybody's lives around the world, in mindful of where we are, thinking about other people and what's happening to other people, both in the streets and in hospitals. And it's all right there in front of us. And then, boom, there was basketball. And I think that's how you're going to do it. I think now, as precarious as baseball's situation is, and I think David Sampson was talking about this earlier on The Score with Mully and Haw, that if Rob Manfred, and I don't trust that baseball is going to get out ahead of this and get in front of it, but baseball had better be thinking right now about some kind of potential bubble. If you want to salvage anything from it, because this isn't working with the positive test today and potentially more games being postponed today, they're going to these 7-inning doubleheaders because they're realizing that they're going to have to pile in some games because the Marlins may not be able to even return to action at all. They have to be thinking about some kind of postseason tournament bubble with new intake testing and maybe starting this from scratch, if that is even possible right now. And I'm not sure that it is, but we're going to have breaking news from baseball throughout the day. I wish I could tell you I thought much of it would be good, but they were able to do this when it was just the lowly Marlins, and it was only the lowly Marlins, and now it's not. Now it's the Cardinals as well, and you've got multiple teams that have been connected because of the travel and who has played where and who's going to have to be quarantined when. So baseball is increasingly looking like a complete mess. So we'll keep you up to date on the latest there. This also affected the broadcasting too in a way that I didn't really consider. And the having TNT back, having the NBA on TNT, and having that whole crew back together made it feel pretty good. But they talked about it at halftime, how it's really strange for them the way that they are doing their business as well, as normal as they're trying to make it. So I want to eavesdrop on some of that next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And on this side, we expect to see Shaquille O'Neal.
Where is he?
Yo, man.
We only had 4 months to realize we were about to play.
Not going to be late for that.
What kind of dummies late to work the first day? Like, we knew this was going to happen 2 months ago, and he stuck in traffic.
Well, by the way, we got a 5 o'clock pregame show. It's going to be 90 minutes worth, so get in there. So Shaq will be along.
Hopefully. Come on, man. You cannot be late today.
You can't make this up.
You can't.
I cannot make this up.
That's the fun of it, that they're able to give each other so much crap. But Shaq was apparently late for the restart. Here's the latest on what's happening in baseball. This is Mark Saxon of The Athletic covering the St. Louis Cardinals on Twitter. He says, per source, the Cardinals have now been told that if the rest of the team tests negative, and I haven't yet been told how many positives they had, the series with the Brewers will start on Saturday. So that is according to Mark Saxon of The Athletic, saying that indeed they're gonna keep this going, and that seems to be what baseball is going to do. Is best practices perhaps be damned? They're going to play baseball once they've started playing baseball, and I think we knew that was going to be the modus operandi in this imperfect plan. When we reached halftime of the Pelicans Jazz game, and look, we were all there and we watched that tremendous emotional pregame, the tremendous show of solidarity and brotherhood during that during the national anthem. And there was Pelicans Jazz, and we got to halftime. And at halftime, Kenny Smith, Charles Barkley, Shaq, and Ernie Johnson all reacted to how the TNT production looked to them.
Welcome, everybody. American Express Halftime Report, Ernie Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny the Jet Smith, Charles Barkley. We are definitely socially distanced in the world, on the world's biggest halftime set. Welcome, and it is so good to be back. That's all I can say. I mean, it's wonderful to be back with you guys, but it's to be watching a game on the NBA that counts. You know,
it looks the same, Ernie.
After 140 game days without
games. I thought it was going to look different. I really did. I thought it was going to like have a different feel to it.
It's different, because, dude, we like 12 feet apart, dude.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm talking about the game.
Oh. The same.
It's the longest table ever, huh, Chuck?
Yeah. Longest table in history.
You could actually bowl.
They could have had the Last Supper off this table. They should be eating.
Chuck has a table like this in his house.
But really, I mean, what you're seeing on the floor, Charles, is what?
Well, I think it's too early right now. I mean, there's going to be some rust. I mean, you can't practice for 2 weeks. You haven't played basketball in 5 months. But I thought the energy level was good. Utah played very well. But one thing about it, Utah missed Bogdanović. They can't score. You know, the coach said before the Clint, what's his name?
Quinn Snyder.
Quinn said before the game.
It's been a while.
We're going to have to.
Actually, been 4 months.
What's his name again? The head coach of the Jazz? Barkley's the same guy that referred to Kyle Korver as Coral Kyver. And really, I can't make fun of Charles too much. Yesterday, I had a friend come over for an outside socially distanced lunch. We just had a couple of salads together on the porch. I hadn't seen him for a while. And we started talking about Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks. And he goes, yeah, who's on the Knicks? And I said, yeah, who's on the Knicks? And I'm thinking, like, wait a sec, Frank Ntilikina is on the Knicks? And then I kind of stalled out for a second there. So I opened the front door of the house. And I said, Jason, what? Who's on the Knicks? And he came up, and obviously he was like nine deep. I'm like, okay, that's enough. That we don't need more Knicks than that. But it's really different for that NBA on TNT crew, and all these broadcasts are different. Hell, I'm sitting in my bedroom now. We're doing a radio show, and I'm on Twitch, by the way. Hi, how's it going? You can see Murder Cave Studios. Here we are. But the production everywhere has been a way to make the viewer still feel like everything's okay. Whether it's Steve Stone and Jason Benetti sitting at Guaranteed Rate Field, broadcasting a game that's taking place in Cleveland, or Nick Faldo sitting in Orlando when everybody else is on the course and he's having to react to what he sees on a screen. The TNT crew has a very specific way that they usually consume basketball together, and now they can't, so it's different for them.
I just thought about this. I'm not used to watching a game like this. Coming up in high school, watching all you guys play, the atmosphere, the arena, and the fans, I'm hoping this is something that I can get used to, because I mean, because they got us all in our individual jails. We can't talk to each other, so I really have to, like, concentrate. Yeah. And I'm sitting there watching that. I'm damn near falling asleep.
You just miss us. That's what it is. You're not used to seeing.
No, I mean,
you're
like,
not watching a game with us not sitting next to you. That's what you're missing.
I got to admit, that does suck.
Right?
So normally, we all sit in a room together and watch the game with, like, five other people. We all by ourselves right now.
And see, that is an important part of their broadcast that's a really hard thing to replicate, is much of the energy that they get in some of their discussions, in some of their arguments, in some of the playful things is because they're watching together. And I think they're going to have to find a way to either watch the game together on Zoom or do the group chat like we do to produce this show. Their reactions in real time to what they see and some of these disagreements, they've got to be organic. And sometimes it comes right to the screen. It comes right in when they're watching it and they're all sitting back there together. Then they walk out and they sit down at the desk and boom, it just picks up. It's obviously it's sanitized from what they have probably said in private for air, but it's really hard to just generate that. What did he say? Our own private little personal jails, I think is how he put it. So yeah, that's not easy. And I understand how that can be, you know, when they're trying to make it as normal as it can be, removing that from how they do their jobs, from how they go from messing with each other and insulting each other and yelling at each other and just running out to the desk and then bringing it on the air, makes it kind of hard to do. And I'm noticing baseball Twitter right now is trying to connect the dots with all of these teams and all of these cities with, as we mentioned before, the Cardinals have positive tests. The game against Milwaukee has been postponed tonight. The Cardinals, according to one report, if everyone else tests negative, will then resume the series tomorrow. But again, the Cardinals played the Twins Wednesday. The Twins played Cleveland yesterday, and now we're starting to look at the problems inherent in this system and whether or not baseball is ready for the inevitable here. They did understand that they're going to need these taxi squads if they want to field teams, and they are using the taxi squads to field teams. We could also have players take action here, because even if baseball says the game is on, remember, the Washington Nationals refused on their own to not participate in a game. It is possible, of course, that Milwaukee as a team could decide this isn't something we want to do here. We don't feel safe. And that is why maybe baseball presses pause, redoes this thing in some form or fashion of a bubble somewhere, and maybe takes a couple of weeks and says, we're going to have to get everybody in the same place because the travel, the hotels, it's not only for them, it might just be for public health purposes, for what you might be doing, bringing into other cities, et cetera, exposing other people. So initially, the idea of a baseball bubble sounded great because they had Arizona, and that was before Arizona erupted with COVID cases. They have their spring training facilities in Florida. You don't want to go anywhere near Florida unless you're doing what the basketball can do and be in a private area as close to a sealed bubble as can be, even though it's not. And Adam Silver has reminded us that technically it's not. It's pretty close, and they have had no positive tests. The NHL is doing a pretty good job as well with that. And we're going to go inside both bubbles coming up in just a bit. We're going to talk to Chris Haynes, the senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports, who is there. And we're going to then go to Edmonton in the segment after that with Kevin Weeks of NHL Network, because it would appear now, and the NFL better be watching closely. And the Bears can brag all they want. And they really, you notice that too, the Bears are ridiculously confident in the bubble that they have and the facilities that they have. Meanwhile, they have put two players already on their COVID exempt list in tight end Eric Saubert and a guy who was technically moved up to starting nose tackle in place of Eddie Goldman in John Jenkins. He's now on the COVID exempt list. It doesn't mean that player has COVID. It just means it could, but it could also mean that the player was exposed to someone and through contact tracing has been told to quarantine. And that is a list that could expand, but man, There's no good answers for a lot of this stuff, and it's down to the players themselves in some respects how safe they feel at this point. And I don't know if you're a baseball player and you're looking around and you're seeing who has been where and who has done what, how healthy and safe you're going to feel right now taking the field. And look, Anthony Rizzo got close to making a real statement there when he was unhappy that they were all sitting in the same room. And even though you've all tested negative, or enough of you have tested negative, we still have too much lag time in testing that is making all of this questionable and scary and difficult, because your recent negative test is only as good as your next potential exposures thereafter. It doesn't necessarily matter at that point, because you could have tested negative and still now be positive in some way. And that's and players, I can't even imagine these uncertainties. We talked to Ian Happ about it yesterday. I can't even imagine how they feel in some of these situations. It did appear that the NBA players, knowing that they had intake testing was done, all the next testing was done, they were getting it returned enough on time that they played confidently and looked like NBA ball last night. So let's talk to Chris Haynes about it, about what it felt like from the inside, about what he saw and what he's seeing. He's going to join us next on The Score.
So Paul George has scored the last 8 points for the Clippers. LeBron has got 7 in the quarter, had 9 the first 3 quarters. Here go the Clippers, down by 2. Kawhi's got it. You see the clock. LeBron on Kawhi, down to 4. Here's George. He's way outside. A lunging 3. No. Rebound Caruso. That's it. Lakers have won.
That was from last night on TNT. It sounded like basketball. It looked like basketball because it actually was basketball. And we are back to what is clearly some kind of new normal. Part of the NBA bubble community is this man, Chris Haynes, who's on Twitter at Chris B. Haynes, senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports, TNT sideline reporter, and part of the Posted Up podcast, joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Chris, thanks for taking time for us, man. How are you?
I'm doing.
So what did it feel like? I mean, we can go with our personal experiences of watching it, but you're there as it was all unfolding, starting with the statements that were being made. It seemed like in front of the world, that was a distillation of 2020 that was right there on our screens.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how this year's been. New normals. Hopefully this is not a permanent normal. But no, it was unreal. It was unreal. I mean, just the whole everything, the game experience to, no fans in the arena, to the climate we're in and society with, racial unjust and the pandemic. I'm still trying to, grasp it all, and just covering that game, the first game, the restart, the Pels Jazz, and then after that game, walking over down the hill to go watch the Lakers and Clippers. So it's crazy. And, seeing players, it's about 20 players sitting there in attendance watching that Laker-Clipper game. That's just something you just never see, during a regular season. So it was unreal, man. It was unreal. But that's just how 2020 has been as a whole.
Some sloppy basketball, but it did look like, for the most part, that it still came down to dramatic finishes with stars controlling the action. And I guess, as a fan right now, I can't be picky. If they're shooting a lot of free throws, if maybe there's some guys who are not quite in cardiovascular game shape yet, it can be understood, and I think that we can live with it.
Yeah, I mean, this is what to be expected. Guys didn't really have the right time, opportunity to get themselves properly in shape. And to be honest with you, a lot of guys didn't even think this season was going to, get back on the restart. And so they weren't preparing themselves and training appropriately. So, we are here. I think for the most part, people are happy basketball is back. A lot of these games for these teams are still kind of like a training camp period because they've been off for so long. So it is to be expected. But, overall, it was two good games that went down to the finish, like I said, basketball is back. So, I think the high level of play at a certain point will get there.
What has been the biggest bubble life adjustment for you?
Just being without my family. I got here June 29th, so I've been here a little bit over a month. And so that's going to be over 3.5 months probably right there of being here in this bubble. And, it's everything, being tested daily, just remembering to take your temperature daily. I have to take my temperature and do an oximeter reading before I even step out my room. Those little things like that, it was one point I forgot to do my temperature and my readings, and I left, and I was trying to go to a different facility for a practice, and you have to scan your wristband in and out or wherever you go. And I scanned my wristband, and it turned blue. And immediately a security came up to me like, hey, your color is blue. Did you do your readings? I was like, damn, I forgot. So I had to go back to my room and do my reading. So, it's really serious over here. It's tightened up. But I think if you look at the results of the last few weeks, zero positive tests. So it's showing that their rules and protocols, safety measures are working properly.
How did Zion Williamson look to you in those series of short bursts? And when do you think they're going to turn him loose with full minutes?
That I don't know. I don't think it would be next game. Zion Williamson was, he was very, very upset about his minutes. He was very upset about not knowing if he was going to play or not last night. It was kind of like a game time decision. He was really on the team to let him go, let him play, release, unleash him. But the team, given his injury history and given that he's only had a few practices under his belt because he had to leave and take care of a family matter, they're going to be cautious. And I was surprised by it a little bit because it's only 8 games in this restart, and they're outside the top 8 right now. So I thought they would give him a little bit more leeway, but it shows that they're not going to jeopardize his safety for this playoff run, with their franchise player. They're looking at the long-term benefits.
Chris, I'm fascinated by the countervailing forces going on in the bubble, in that the NBA is doing this as an entity. And all NBA players, it seems that the individual players have never been closer to each other in the way that they're working so hard together in their social justice causes and in their actions and in their contributions and in their statements. And it really seems to be the league as one unit and one fraternity. Is it difficult then, once the games start, you are part of a team? And even though you're in the same ballrooms and the same dining areas and you're going fishing and golfing and together, and Boban is out there playing bags with people, is it still, can they still have the sense of team versus team? Or is it harder to get mad at a guy that you're, or go up against a guy with whom you've been working so closely on so many things?
No, yes, I think, when guys step on the floor, they're competitors. When they step on the floor, they're out for blood, and they're going to compete. And there's bigger issues at stake, when it comes to social justice issues and, guys, voicing their concerns with the way people of color are treated, particularly by the police. They understand that there's bigger things at stake when it comes to that. That's off the court stuff. But when it gets on the court, the competition is going to be there. And, you have these games being nationally televised. So they're going to bring it. I don't think that there was no shortage of intensity from those games yesterday. But, I think right now there's just better perspective. Now guys can look at each other once the game is over and look at, you as a brother, whether you white, black, or whatever. They can look at you as a brother. You are my brother. And so I think just perspective on life has changed. But the intensity on the court, I think that will remain the same.
I also think that the sounds have been wonderful. And I actually would hope on, and would want on the TV broadcast. I know they're terrified of what the microphones are going to pick up. But they even pick up when you have, you know, 23,000 fans in the building. You can hear some stuff when the guys get close to the mics by the baskets. But just the slap of the ball for the inbounds play to trigger the start of the movement on an inbounds play was jarring to hear that. And just to hear all of the communication that's going on. I think a real basketball fan can learn a lot about NBA ball from just being able to hear all this stuff.
And that's what I hear. So you're able, so, you know, they're playing the virtual crowd noise, which I'm not a big fan of, because players aren't really reacting to it when it does come on, you know, so I'm not a big fan of it, but I get it. So you're able to pretty much hear, are you able to hear, you know, conversations on TV with players interacting with one another?
Not conversations, but you can hear some of the shouts more clearly on the floor. You can hear guys yelling out defensive instructions, et cetera, to each other, and some of the on-floor communication, which is indicative of what is usually going on in games, but we're not privy to it. It's not the quiet conversations like during a stoppage or anything like that.
Got you. No, there are some interesting conversations that are being had, and LeBron he's a pleasure to watch up close, man, when it's quiet. And so that's why I don't know, because I haven't watched, I got to go back and look at it for myself, so I don't know how much you guys really get to see and hear everything that's being relayed and said, but it's a cool experience up front, man. You know, it's something that you just don't get, because fans are drowning out everything. Like I said, hopefully one day we'll get back to some normalcy and you can pack the arenas up again, because it is missing something. The fans not being there takes a lot away from the game. But the guys are still trying to go out there and compete.
Chris Haynes, thanks for joining us. Continued good health to you.
You take care as well.
That is Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. You're watching him do sidelines on TNT as well, and he is on the Posted Up podcast. We've got information that is rolling in so regarding baseball right now. This is Tom Haudricourt, a veteran scribe, a confirmation that the Brewers' home opener is off because of positive tests with St. Louis Cardinals, tests plural. Says the Cardinals just came from Minnesota. This is bad news for the Twins as well. He says, I'm guessing there will be no games at Miller Park this weekend. So because of the timing of this, and again, the critical lag in testing turnaround, this is what makes it really, really difficult. This is Craig Mish reporting from Sports Grid, who covers the Marlins. He says, multiple sources have indicated to me there are two players on the Cardinals testing positive for COVID-19, and that's confirmed by Mark Saxon of The Athletic. So the team flew together Wednesday night. I'm not sure how that affects contact tracing given recirculated air on airplanes. The Marlins have another positive test, according to John Heyman. That's 18 out of their 30 players, or 60% of their roster. And it's a week in to their quarantine, and they're still getting positives. So who knows how far this is reaching across baseball as we speak with each next drib and drab of information that comes out. So what is baseball to do right here? What can they do? How do they get ahead of this? And one way to do it might be shut it down for 2 weeks, re-quarantine, and then form some sort of postseason tournament bubble with new intake testing, and try to emulate what the NBA is doing apparently early on successfully. This was former Marlins general manager David Sampson, who was on with Mully and Haw this morning talking about what the possibilities may be.
My bigger concern is that, will the commissioner say, if 15 teams are missing 11 players at once and the players who are playing in the games are not representative of the major league product and the competitive integrity has been compromised, that is what will cause the season to be suspended and then move into maybe some sort of bubble format in October for the playoffs. I think if baseball is smart, they're working on the potential of a bubble playoff. Somehow, somewhere, they've got some time to do it. It's difficult to pull off, but the NBA so far is doing it. The NHL is just starting their bubble. The WNBA looks to be doing it as well. It's not going to be perfect. Players violate bubbles. We've seen it. But the NBA has very strict rules, and they're calling out players. And I don't just mean the snitch line, but they're calling out players who violate the bubble, and they're being serious about quarantine. And it's easier to do that in a bubble. You can't do that during a regular season.
If they're going to do it, they better figure it out soon, and it may even be too late. Now, ESPN is reporting that the Marlins are going to be busing infected players and personnel back to Miami. Philadelphia to Miami on a bus? Okay. Apparently, the unaffected will stay in Philadelphia. Then they're going to Baltimore and then New York and then to play Toronto in Buffalo. So they've been away from home this entire time now. I am very concerned about baseball and where this is headed and what the risk tolerance is going to be here on in, and what the, not just the risk tolerance. Look, I'm concerned about the actual risk. I'm concerned about what these players signed up for and what they're all walking into here and what the league thinks they can know, what MLB and the Players Association think they can know, but they really can't because of the timing of the testing. Testing, 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 one, two, three. For them, for all of us. That's what it's come down to. That's where we missed this. That's where we're continuing to miss this. And I even saw a scientist yesterday who said, who says the idea of contact tracing says we've already blown through that now, that it's almost useless at this point because of the lags in timing, that all the forensic work that's done, the detective work to go back, like Jack Klugman is Quincy, and to determine what happened and when and what the causes are, that with the lags in testing, it's nearly impossible to do it. And we missed the boat on it, and it just doesn't seem like we care. And a good question from the 702, who is driving that bus? I don't know. Maybe do you have to either have somebody in a hazmat suit with a rebreather, or do you have somebody who already had COVID? That's a great question. Or is it sealed off completely? Is the driver's compartment completely 100% sealed off from the back? Or do you retrofit it that way? Do you weld in panels or put up sealed Lucite? That's a great question. But that's exactly the kind of question that needs to be asked in all of this. These are the people we're talking about. These are the people the NBA has committed to protect through their testing, through what was just described by Chris Haynes, that they're committed to watching out for some of these people. Let's find out how it's going for the NHL. The Blackhawks are back in action in the playoffs against Edmonton starting tomorrow. Kevin Weeks of NHL Network is going to do that hockey with us next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.